your go-to destination for the most addictive reality TV.
I love that.
Stream or download all the shows you love with loads same day as the US.
Hallelujah.
Including Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Real Housewives of New Jersey, and more.
Okay.
Escape the Christmas parties with over 7,000 episodes, because staying in is the new going out.
This is heaven for me.
Treat yourself to something special. Sign up now to get your 1 month free.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
Welcome to The Naked Scientists.
What is a panic attack?
You might get to see a hedgehog.
I'm the world's first IVF baby.
What a wonderful time to be alive. We're landing on the moon.
Every week, our podcast covers cutting-edge news, great stories, and hands-on science.
Science.
And that is to say, physics,
medicine,
nature,
or space,
time,
the brain,
life,
the universe.
Subscribe to The Naked Scientists on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Entertainment. The Bay Area betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain. Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Ray Grant.
The Grandmaster.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old brows. I'm Ronnie Karam. You can find me on Rose Pricks, which starts again next week. My God,
what?
The new year. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
We're doing a two-part preview episode for the new season, like our cast breakdown or whatever. So that starts next week. And, well, I guess at the end of next week. Whatever. Whenever New Year's is. And then, here I am with Ben Mandelker, co-host and friend. Ben writes, draws, voices, does everything for The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which you can find on El YouTube. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, you know I love a Below Deck day, girl.
I love me some Below Deck. Love it.
So that is what we're doing today. We just announced tickets are on sale for 2020 in San Francisco and Boston. So if you guys live there, come see us, okay? I'm going to list everywhere else we're going to go so far in 2020. So listen up for your city. First, we're doing the 2020 Golden Crappies in L.A., then Detroit, Michigan, Columbus, Ohio, Austin, Texas, Houston, Birmingham, New Orleans, Kansas City, otherwise known as Lawrence fucking Kansas, Omaha, Salt Lake City, Vancouver, Orlando, Charleston, Oklahoma City, Asbury Park, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., San Fran, and Boston. So go get your tickets at Watch What Crappens Adult Acom, okay, everybody?
Yeah, it's going to be a great 2020. We're going to be touring a lot for those first 6 months. And then after that, we'll take a little bit of a break. Which I'm
from touring only. And probably just for 2 weeks. So I don't know what you're getting
probably
so excited about.
Probably just for about 3 days.
Yeah, hopefully. Because I thought, God, that's going to be a lot for the end of 2019. We went to a lot of places, but now I'm like, bored. Okay. Like, how many times can I go to a Home Goods? I'd rather be someplace else.
You are not appreciating life if you're already burnt out by Home Goods, okay?
I'm not burnt out, but God, I'd rather be making money than spending money.
Okay. Well, while we figure out just how long our break is going to be in the future, let's talk about people who are actually on break, people who are chartering yachts. And then the people who aren't on break, the people who are servicing the charter guests. The point is this. Let's talk about Below Deck.
Below Deck.
Well, I'm not sure you're a great second stew, so. So there.
So previously on Below Deck, the men were assholes and pigs, and Kate got drunk and had a meltdown and did something uncharacteristic, which is that she sniffled a little bit, and I think there was like maybe three tears.
Yes, and so we come back. Yeah, she was like legit crying, and so we come back, and she's throwing their clothes on the floor right in front of the captain. He's like, "Hey, I'm not arguing with a drunk. I'm not a goddamn idiot."
Yeah. So Ashton is all pissed. He's out on the deck, and he's like, "Your captain is sitting in the crew mess, and you have the audacity to throw the clothes all around." Like, "Oh, I'm sorry, and you had the audacity to just like go and kiss her on the face a few weeks ago, but I guess that's okay." But she can't throw pants on the floor. I mean, admittedly, Kate was wrong too. I mean, Kate should not have been throwing pants on the floor in front of the captain. But still, the point is this: Ashton is a little bit on a high horse, and he's on a high horse, and what he doesn't realize is that the horse he's riding is like a little like pole with a horse head on it, and it's not very high. It's low and not a real horse.
You tell him, Ben.
Thank you.
You tell him off Thank for that you. Stick horse, Ben.
He's on a stick horse. He's on a stick horse. Okay.
Also, Ashton's super tough when he's drunk, you know? He's just one of those guys who's like all big and strong when he's tough. And then the next day, he's very apologetic. Did you see the tweet that Kate put up last week?
I was about to say something, and I hope it's the same tweet that was in my mind. So you say it.
You go ahead.
Well, the tweet that I saw was Kate saying something along the lines of like, I'm sorry that I threw the pants on the floor, but that wasn't me. That was Smash Kate, which means that everything's okay.
Yeah, because that's here we go. It's like more excuses. I'm smashed and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I can't be held responsible for anything I do because I'm smashed in.
Yep. So then Brian is knocking on Courtney's door, and because he's just obviously gotten into it with Kate, and she stuck up for Kate, and he's like, "Well, obviously there's going to be a problem. I'm kind of upset that you took her side." And she's like, "I didn't."
Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, you kind of did." And she goes, "No, I tried to talk to you about it, and you shut the car door on me and then dismissed me. So no."
Yeah, and in his interview, he's like, "Well, she should take my side because Kate is wrong."
Yeah, he goes,
"How can you still think that in your interview session? Like, I get it when you're drunk and whatever, but how can you still hear it back and think, wow, she was really being, like, classist with me by calling me a yachty? She does the same job as you."
Yeah, and he's like, you know, Kate is the issue on this boat. She's causing this to create reactions, which is, again, more of the bullshit that women have to deal with in the workplace. The moment, like a woman, like, speaks up or challenges male authority, it's like, oh, she's just trying to create reactions. She's trying to create a scene. She's so emotional.
So Riley is making Kate's bed to try and make it better. And Kate's like, "Just don't." And she's like, "Well, I want you to maybe have something nice to come back to. Okay?" Yeah. And so Kate's like, "I feel like everyone hates me." And then we get the clips of everybody basically hating her.
Yeah.
And she's like, "I don't know what I've done that's so bad to these people. I don't think it's my job to point out that they should respect my stripes, but I wish someone would."
Yeah. And then like a really weird thing happened, which is that like Riley tucked Kate into bed, which is like the scariest tuck-in we've ever seen on Bravo. It's like, "Got it. Got it. There. Sleep well. Got it. Got it." Rock-a-bye, like, got it on the got it top. When the wind got it, the cradle will got it. Got it. The cradle gets it. Okay, got it. Got it. Yeah, I know how to put up the cradle. I know how to do that. I know how to do that. I'm like old.
So Kate is crying herself to sleep.
Wait, I'm so sorry. There's someone at the door. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Oh. Sorry, I thought it was someone at the someone rang the doorbell. It's just UPS dropping off a envelope.
Oh my god, just drop it off.
I stopped everything.
I know, I do everything for an envelope.
Sorry.
Got it. I got my envelope. Got it.
Okay, so Tanner is texting Simone because everyone's wasted. So he's doing a booty call for Simone. He's like, you still up? Uh-huh. Hey, Brian, you still up? Because I'm going to text Simone. You want to do the old switcheroo, huh, Jiminy? I'll switch you some Jiminy with your cricket, huh?
Crickety Jiminy. That's what I'm going to say now. So, of course, Simone goes for it, which is so sad because everyone was just telling her when he texts you for a late night booty call, don't do it. Because even she said last episode, like, am I just a booty call? And it's like, if you don't want to be treated like a booty call, like, don't go when he tries to treat you like a booty call, okay? So Brian, so she goes over to the room, and Tanner's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Now let me eat you out. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Jiminy Cricket. Oh, switch the route again.
And then Courtney is with Brian, and she's like, oh, my God, how many times does he have to apologize before I realize how cute he is? Okay, he's like a lost puppy. Sorry. Yeah, so she lets him into bed. And then Ashton is hanging out with Riley. And they're just cleaning. Who cares?
Well, the next morning when Riley wakes up. The next morning, Riley wakes up. And when she wakes up, a pillow falls off the bed onto the floor. And she's like, like, really, pillow? Really? How about next time? If you don't like sleeping in my bed, pillow, next time, just tell me to my face. Tell me to my face, pillow. You calm down, pillow. You calm down, pillow.
So Courtney's doing lemons and stuff, and she goes, you want this whole lemon zested? And then Captain Lee, and Kate's in bed, and she's like, go ahead. It's like, yeah, can you join me for a cup of Joe? Kid.
Okay, fine. So Kate probably knows she's in trouble. So then, Ashton and Riley are talking about the whole situation, and Ashton was saying how Kate was being totally immature. Riley was basically like, yeah, I think that Kate was pretty surprised that, Captain Lee didn't defend her like normal. So Kate was very rattled.
Yeah, she's used to getting her way. I like how she started the conversation. She goes, so what do you think of the elephant in my room? Wow. You guys really took that class trip seriously.
So Kate walks into the wheelhouse, and Captain Lee is like, I'm not going to tolerate somebody blowing up. I think everybody knows that about me. Oh, is that cereal? Did you bring me cereal? Well, okay. What was I saying again?
Well, I think if I hadn't been drinking since 10 a.m., I wouldn't throw a black shirt on the ground. But I was, so there you have it. He's like, I know, but you got to be bigger than that, Kate. She's just like, I know.
Yeah. She's like, it's never a good idea to talk to Captain Lee about behavior from the night before he didn't like, and I'm so hungover and I have makeup on my face from crying. It's a lot.
It's not a great morning.
No.
So he's like, well, Kate's been with me 5 years now, and she's earned a certain degree of preferential treatment, but I guarantee you, that will never happen. All right, come in, kid. Give me another hug. Come on.
All right, kiddo. All right. Sorry to the uniforms on the ground. It will never happen again. But it wasn't your uniform, so bye. So outside, Tanner's talking. He's like, he drinks a bottle of water, and his sunglasses fall off his head and break on the floor. And he's like, oh, shit. I was like, yeah, that's what you get, broken sunglasses. It's like a smidgen of justice in the world.
Riley and Brian are working, and Riley goes, so how are you and Courtney doing? And he's like, good. She goes, that sucks. What? Nothing.
Got it.
First, it
flashes to Courtney at the ironing board going, I actually created more wrinkles than were there. Just ongoing torture from the ironing machine.
So preference sheet meeting. Captain's like, needless to say, last night I wasn't pleased. When going forward, I expect you all to act like adults. All right? We're not going to let everything fuck this charter up. Got it? And everyone's just quiet. He's like, all right. Well, surprise. I've got something for you, kids. Mr. Pearson's back.
Master Pearson, who famously was this adorable child from last season, who I think when we were recapping and we saw that like children were coming on board, we're like, oh God, they're gonna be two little brats. And they were like the most wonderful children we've ever seen on television. And, you know, Josiah basically was like, you are my master now. I will do anything for you, Master Pearson.
I'm bleeding.
So he's like, yeah, that whole family's coming back. You know, and that was a pain in the ass charter for him. All right. You know, one of these ladies is the one Chandler dropped on her ass.
Flashback to Chandler dropping a lady on her ass. Oh, that was a great clusterfuck of an episode.
Yeah. So Ashton's like, well, Kate and I are at each other's throats, but we need to put all differences aside because today I'm sober.
Yeah. So Kate Ashton. He's talking about how she has no respect for his leadership and the rest of the crew. And
well, you've tried to fuck one of your crew, one of your underlings already, and you fought with another one.
And you didn't reprimand someone on your department for calling the lead of another department a bitch. So,
and then stuck your tongue down another coworker's throat. So I don't know how much respect you're expecting over there, buddy.
Yeah. So Kate comes over and she's like, I hate this. I hate today so much because she knows she has to have a talk with Ashton and everything. And meanwhile, Kevin's fiddling with a switch in the kitchen because we find out later on that the fan doesn't work. So he's just sitting there being like, Jesus Christ. Dad, I said, this isn't my fault, Father. This isn't my fault. Jesus Christ.
So Kate's like, all right, what's up, Ashton? He's like, well, obviously, we had a scene in the mess last night. It was quite a scene. And she's like, oh, God. He goes, what was the issue, Kate? She's like, well, Ryan got annoyed and called me a bitch. And I was mad because I didn't like being called a bitch. So I threw his clothes on the ground.
Yeah.
And he goes, and well, look, let me explain. It's important for me to know why. Because when we're told to get ready, I feel like you and Riley have really... You know, you've taken up 30 to 40 minutes of our time while you're late. And she's like, she tells us, she goes, who do you think you are? Have you lost your fucking mind? I thought I was coming here for you to apologize. This is going to be like a mound of clothes on the floor. Like, literally, people aren't going to be able to walk tonight.
Yeah, it'll be a full, like, a snow fort of laundry. So then Kate is basically like, you know, everyone hates me right now, and I'm feeling really down. There's only one thing I can do to make myself feel better. A passive-aggressive delivery of stripes. Courtney? Hi. Oh, wait. Hey, Simone, come over here. Come stand real close. Courtney? Here's some new stripes for you. Because you earned them. You're so good. Extra stripes for you. See this, Courtney? See this, Simone? Stripes for Courtney. Yeah.
Yeah, she really did it. She really went thick on that. Because Courtney's like, can I steal one of those preference sheets? I want to put one on the wall. Here's what you can steal. An extra stripe. How about that? It's like, cute. You've definitely earned it. Everybody noticing this? You've had two stripes before, right? She's like, yeah, because I worked on a boat where I was like one of two. So, yeah. She goes, yeah.
Did we?
We're wondering if it's passive aggressive. And then Kate goes, this is both a reward for Courtney and a punishment for Simone.
Yeah. Did we order any red stripe? Oh, okay. We didn't. Okay, I guess we'll just have to use Courtney's extra stripe that she just earned herself.
So yeah. Kate's like, so Simone, you don't seem to be upset about this. What was your first second job, Simone? She goes, this one. She goes, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. You know that extra stripe is really heavy. It comes with a lot of extra responsibility, not Simone.
Yeah, yeah. And Courtney's like, it's a bit awkward. But I don't think it's unwarranted. Tower of seafood for one.
Did you notice that she said when Kate says it has a lot of responsibility, Courtney goes, you mean everything I'm already doing? And they both start laughing.
God, I did not notice that.
So rude. So then cleaning time, Tanner is talking to Ashton. He's like, dude, you and I dance with those dancing girls. I got so much trouble for that shit. It's like having a fucking girlfriend, you know? Like, it's like, come on, dancing with the party girls, like pretending to stripper likes you. Come on.
He's so obnoxious. Like, he doesn't even get it. Like, of course, Tanner just puts it all on the girl. Like, she's crazy. It's like, no, because you're acting like, because you you told all the guys exactly what happened behind closed doors, which made her feel like shit. And then you bone her. And then, but in public, you don't want to be around her. You want to go with some other girl. So it's all degrading. It's not about like her being a clinger. It's about you just not respecting the person that you're sleeping with.
That said, she is a fucking clinger and she shouldn't be around that guy.
Well, she already has problems because she's been obsessed with Tanner, which is questionable to begin with. And she is a clinger. She is. She needs to. She even said earlier, she's like, oh, why? I'm so weak. I want to be a goddess. I was a goddess before, this strong goddess. Like, you know what? Simone, you need to start saying no. Know your worth and say no to him.
So Simone calls her mom and she's like, so last night, Kate fought and she practically threw clothes on the floor and then she gave a stripe to someone and I had to turn the iron on low to teach that girl how to use the iron. I mean, that's not my friend. That's shit. All right, but you know what? I'm going to get that money.
Yeah.
I just love her speed talk with her mom. She's like, listen, here's what's going on, mom. It's like a conspiratorial, you know, speed talk with her mom.
She's like, little does she know that I'm very good at being professional, even though I don't like you. If Kate thinks she's going to get a reaction, she's got the wrong person because I'm not that basic bitch. I'm going to be very pleasant and nice.
Yeah. So then provisions time and Captain gets a really long email. So he's like scrolling through this email and he's just going, shit, God damn it. God damn it.
And I paused it to read some of the email. And you know what? It was about, as we find out a few seconds later, it's about the DJ equipment and Ashton's cannonball. And last week, I got really mad because I felt like Ashton did that cannonball. And then there was like a quick shot of the DJs wiping down their equipment. And I seem to remember on the podcast.
Yeah, you did.
I was like, and did you see that, Ronnie? Though he like splashed water on the DJ's equipment. And I was like really outraged by like the lack of consideration for that. So it made me deeply happy that that came back as a major plot point for this episode.
Yeah, it did. And my reaction was kind of the same as then. I was like, why do you put DJ equipment by a pool?
Well, that's true, too. Well, because most people don't
cannonball.
Yeah, they don't act like monsters.
So they have a meeting and he's like, I'm not happy with something. Nope, it's not you, Cereal. You're doing great. All right, Cheerios. I'm not happy. I had only two rules. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass the boat. Seems like all of us aren't getting that message because I got an email from the Dream Beach Club. What a dream.
Kate does a slow 180 head twist, which is like her favorite thing to do. She's like, well, I'm looking to the left, and I'm slowly now looking to the right.
Kate was literally looking into the camera like this, like the camera at us, like B. Arthur from Golden Girls. Like whenever someone said something stupid and she just looks right into the camera like, are you hearing this?
Do you know what's funny is I had a dream last night that I was like hired to write an episode of the Golden Girls that was going to be like presented live. And I was like, really, like, oh my God, how am I supposed to write an episode of The Golden Girls? I don't even have an idea. It's got to be ready in 30 minutes. And I don't even know what it's going to be about. And how could I write something on the same caliber as The Golden Girls? This was a real dream.
And then Kate gave that lick.
And then Kate slowly was like, looking left to right and in the camera to say, wow, vindication.
So, of course, this is all Ashton's fault, and he's going to have to pay the beach club back, the Dream Beach Club. He's like, you guys iron it out and pay for this. And by iron it out, I don't mean you, Courtney, wrinkles. All right? I don't mean you. Please, for God's sake. We're already going to have a fire on this boat.
Always re-wrinkles. So, yeah, so Ashton then afterwards is like, he's like, oh, Captain Lee, that was me, and I apologize, and I'm going to pay for everything and write a letter of apology. And Captain Lee's like, you know, he's a good guy, but you know what? The pond that he's ice skating on, the ice is getting real thin. It's a thin, I'm putting up a sign that says, be careful of walking on the thin ice. You don't want to fall in and have to be hauled out, okay? Because if you have to be hauled out, guess what? Guess what's hauling you out? A one-way ticket to a warmer weather with no icy ponds. That's what I'm saying.
You're going to be hauled out by a goddamn Southwest airplane with a fucking rope tied to the tail of it, right? It's just gonna tail you out.
You're gonna be you're gonna be section Z43, okay? Beyond last and sitting in the middle seat
with two other people on that rope.
So next we get a close-up of Kevin sniffing his armpits. I don't know why they're showing us the most disgusting fucking close-ups of Kevin ever, but they need to take that camera out of his room.
And not only does he sniff his armpits, he goes, lavender. I was like, ew. Who has lavender deodorant, by the way?
I do. Thank you very much, actually. Cucumber and lavender, to be specific.
I use Degree and Degree because Degree has deodorant for women and for men, and their men's deodorant, they're like, men don't like real descriptions because men are men. So instead of saying that this smells like lavender or mint, we're saying Cool Rush or Extreme Blast. I'm like, what does Cool Rush smell like? What is that?
I know, that's true. I wear the ladies' deodorant.
Do you?
I sure do. Well, right now I'm wearing a unisex because I prefer native deodorant. They're an advertiser, but I really do actually use their deodorant. Love it. So Ashton and Kate. Here we go, Ashton and Kate. So Kate is folding laundry, I'm guessing. And so he comes in and he's like, Kate, I want to apologize. Like, okay, it loses its luster when every fucking day after you go out, you have to apologize to somebody. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so because he's clearly doing like an apology tour to everyone. So he's like, Kate, I just want to apologize for my behavior last night. And she goes, that's okay. I'm sure it was just built up frustration from waiting for Riley and I, which was great. Great. And he goes, well, it's two separate issues, honestly. She goes, oh, two separate issues. Got it. Got it. Okay, two separate issues. I'm just going to rotate my head a little bit. This time I go from right to left. Right to left felt good.
Yeah. She's like, has no fakeness to give. And so he walks off and is like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm going around with my tail between my legs apologizing to him. Okay, yeah, your tail between your legs because you got called out for it, and you're apologizing because you got called out for it before you were trying to make her apologize to you.
Yeah, he goes, I'm going around with my tail between my legs saying, sorry to everybody, but the queen bee bitch has to have the last say and jab the knife into my side one last time, and it's fucking irritating. So he's the victim because she's not letting him apologize easily. You know, it's like it really is like this. It's so entitled. It's like awful, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I just... Oh, sorry. I was telling him off in my notes. So then Ashton is like, what I need is when you've got time to speak to somebody about something and instead you want to pass stupid comments on the fly. Blah, 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 like he's bitching. And then he's telling this to Kevin, which is another one who has to apologize all the time.
Yeah. it's just so bad.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a...
Let's begin our nighttime relaxation. You've never felt more... Feel your eyelids getting... Now let yourself lay back and get a good night of... When cold and flu symptoms won't let you sleep, ask for Night Nurse. Its unbeatable strength helps put cold and flu to bed. Only available at the pharmacy counter. For cold and flu relief, visit dayandnightnurse.co.uk/verify for verification. Always read the label.
Crappin's commercial.
So now the charter guests are to arrive. It's like, all right, everyone, I don't know what the fuck you guys are doing, but it's time to change into whites, okay? Get into those whites, assuming they aren't dirty from being thrown on the floor last night.
Luggage, bunny pads, anchors, luggage, bunny pad, anchors.
The family arrives and Master Pearson's like, I see Captain Lee. And they go on a tour of the boat and everything. And at one point, cute Master Pearson can't open up a door. He goes, And Kate goes, oh, do you need help? He goes, yeah.
It's okay.
It's a heavy door. It's been closed a lot by really awful people. So maybe you can fix it.
My shoes are waterproof.
Fun.
So it's 89 degrees in the galley because the vents don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, yeah. Dun, dun.
So Kevin is like making a caprese salad, not to be confused with a capri salad, but a caprese salad. And then out on the deck, one of the ladies that's there, I don't know if it's his mom or whatever, is like, Master Pearson, you said that I look like I lost weight. And he goes, no. He goes, were you lying? He goes, yeah.
Jellyfish. There's jellyfish all jellyfish, over the place jellyfish, again.
Jellyfish. Everywhere. Everywhere you look.
So the jellyfish. A lady's like, oh my God, did you put one of those swimmy thingies in there? And Ashton's like, oh, the critter pool? I guess we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
So he's like, God, up to this point, we've been avoiding it, but now we've got to do it. And it's my redemption tour. Let's do this.
Yeah, because there have been a lot of critters on this boat. So they are putting out the critter-free pool, and Brian's like, oh, seems big, Brie, seems big. So they're setting that whole thing up because it's a whole big, giant thing. And in the meantime, the Caprese salads arrive at the lunch table, and we have instant drama.
Yes, there's hair on my cheese. Also, this Caprese salad, I was like, wow, you're really going above and beyond again over there.
Yeah, so, exactly. Three ingredients.
So Kate's like, want me to get you another one? Cannot wait to take this down. Hair on the food is disgusting and the worst thing you can experience.
Yeah, the worst thing in the world. So she brings it back and she's like, there's hair. Do you want to apologize to anyone for the hair, perhaps? So Kevin doesn't even believe her. He like looks at it real closely. He's like, what, hair? And she's like, yeah, it's like in the cheese, which is my way of saying it's definitely your hair. It's embedded. It's your hair. Your hair. Jesus Christ,
Mr. Dobson. So did you notice when he pinched the hair up? I totally zoomed in on that hair. I was trying to get a good read on that hair so I could accuse somebody of having their hair in the cheese. Alas, couldn't get it. He needs to hold it up to the white background of the vent and not the low background of the black background.
Yeah. Okay?
How am I supposed to investigate, sir?
I know. He ruined our CSI moment. Our BDI moment, below deck scene investigation, BDSI. So meanwhile, they're blowing up the critter pool. They're doing all this stuff. And like the guys are totally clueless. They don't know what to do. And Riley's like, okay, well, there's a valve there. You can do this. How about that? There's a loop there that you can use. And then one of the guys, Brian or Ashton, goes, easy, Tiger, which was just totally dismissive. She's like the only one who seemed to have any idea of like what was going on. Like, whoa, easy, Tiger.
Who's Brian? And she's like, what's that? And he's like, it's all of our first time here. She's like, we're gonna hit that boat with it. And Ashton's like, Aura, everyone's getting frustrated because Riley's like, maybe we should do it this way, maybe we should do it that way, maybe this fucking critter boat shut the fuck up for a stab in the face.
Yeah. So then they finally get this critter free pool out in the water. And Brian's like, whoa, look how cool it is. Can you walk on it? And Riley goes, yeah, just make sure you don't slip and fall. And he goes, oh, thanks, Captain Obvious. And she's like, shh. So then the guests come over and then he's like, and the guest is like, oh, you guys are going to go in the water. Just be careful. You can get caught in the net. And she goes, thanks, Captain Obvious. Got it.
He's like, no, actually, this is a safety hazard I was pointing out. She goes, oh, and slipping on a wet surface isn't a safety hazard? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, Riley. She goes, thanks for that.
And then she turns to the guests and goes, not just to state the obvious, but this is very slippery. Got it. Slippery, got it.
Brian's like, God, she's annoying.
Yeah.
So jet ski time, Kevin, close up of Kevin just giving a huge yawn. They only give Kevin the most flattering close ups.
I know. So the guests like swim in the critter free pool for 40 minutes and then they get out and they're like, we're done. And so now they're like, Jesus, like all this work for 40 minutes. So then they spend, well, it's still either way. It's so they come out and now the deck crew has to start folding it up. And in the meantime, it's like boiling hot in the kitchen. And Kevin's like, you look hot and bothered, Kate. And she goes, well, I am hot. And that makes me bothered. You idiot.
But I got a fan. I mean, it's a standing fan. I mean, if you have an office fan on you, you're somewhere depressing. Like the DMV. Sucks. Yeah.
So the deck crew starts hauling up this critter-free pool. And we see a timestamp. And it looks like it takes like at least 2 hours, if not more, because I wasn't paying attention to the timestamp when it started. But I know it started in the 5 o'clock hour, and it was like, by the time the montage ends, it's like after 7 o'clock, which is crazy. And also, should it really take 2 hours? There's probably an inefficiency there.
Doesn't the thing come with directions? So Ashton's like, oh, it's like a joke. How many dick hands does it take to fold up a pool? And Riley goes, maybe we should fold it into larger squares. And Brian goes, relax, Riley. Relax. She's like, you relax. He goes, calm down, bro. She's like, I am fucking calm. Don't start with me, fuckface.
Yeah. I was like, Brian has no idea what he's tangling with. He has no idea. You don't tell Riley to calm down. You tell her, hey, Riley, there's a bear over there. Okay, I'm going to go fucking kill it. I'll be right back, fucker.
And she tells us, don't look at me not doing a fucking thing and then tell me to calm down, you fucking moron. So then Courtney goes up to one of my favorite kind of customers. Oh, I hate these fucking guys. She's like, here's her wine. And he goes, wait, wait. And so she stops and he goes, that'll do.
Oh, shut up.
And then she has to, I knew when I saw that, I was like, Ronnie's going to hate this guy.
That's not how glasses of wine works, you idiot. You don't order a glass of wine and then have the chance to smell the entire glass. You smell it when you order a bottle of expensive wine, or any wine, really. You order a bottle, then you smell it. You don't order a glass of red off the menu and then smell it. Yeah.
It was literally like yellowtail wine, whatever it's called. So, then like moments after that, Courtney like is stuck having to talk to Pearson, and you can tell she doesn't know what to do with kids. Like same like with me, because she's like, oh, are you looking for a stuffed animal? Here's one here. And she starts shaking it like a rattle. Like, here's a stuffed animal.
And he goes, that's mine. It's like, here, take it.
Here. Is this as awkward for you as it is for me? Cause it's pretty awkward for me. No. Do you want to help me finish zesting this lemon? I think I have to do the whole thing.
So then Riley and Kate are talking, and Kate's like, stripe ones are different.
Yeah. You want to know what three stripes feels like? And Riley's like, yeah, you should, I don't know, you should give it to the boys, because they're joking about like that they're so heavy. And she goes, you want to know what three stripes feels like? She's like, no, you should give the stripes to the boys up there, because they clearly know what three stripes feels like. Got it, upstairs. Got it.
So Kate's like, are you annoyed with the stripes or something else? Because personally, I'm trying to jab at Simone. If you want to join your plot line with mine, that's fine. Just let me know where we're going with this. And she's like, I'm annoyed with Brian, okay? I just don't know what it is about him. Like, he gets under my skin. I'm going to fuck him until his ankles fall off.
I know. And upstairs, Ashton's like, hey, Brew, you have to be careful with your words with Riley, you know? You have to be really careful because, you know, she's a woman and women understand things differently. You know, they're less advanced and they don't know how to do things. So use your words carefully. And he's like, but Brew, that's not how the way the boat works, Brew. Okay? That's not how it works, Brew.
Yeah. And he's like, it's a bit like walking on eggshells. Farting is just not going to work. They need to work it out. And so Riley's like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me, Ashton Jr.? You're a bit of a bitch, huh?
Yeah. And Kate says, you're a bit of a bitch, huh? So then Riley's also like, I don't understand how someone so good looking can get under my skin. I'm like, that's what good looking people do. Like, that is, they look good. So then you're like, oh my God, they're so good looking. And then you find out they have terrible personalities, and then they get under your skin. That's like why we have good looking people, to know what it feels like to have someone get under our skin.
Yeah. It's like God's gift to them.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite part is like when if you follow someone on Instagram who's really hot, and you're like, they're so hot, like I can't get over how hot they are. But then as their personality starts coming through on their Instagram, you realize how terrible they are. And then finally there comes that day where you're like, you're no longer hot. You're just purely terrible for me. And the spell is broken and I can live my life.
Oh my God, that's what I call dating. So I don't know anybody. I don't know how anybody gets married. So Kevin is making a meal in pineapples, which is cool. Like, he's gutted the pineapples and he's serving them. And Kate's like, huh, nature's ramekin, the pineapple.
That should be the next commercial for the Pineapple Association of America.
Nature's ramekin. So he's like, this looks bad, doesn't it? She's like, no, it doesn't. It looks great. And he goes, well, I'm also making meat on a stick because my daughter likes it. I mean, come on with you.
I know. Jesus. I mean, it looked really good, I'm not going to lie. But seriously, I mean, this is a yacht, and you have a gentleman on there who's being pretentious enough to taste the wine. So, like, you got to step it up. So they serve the food. And by the way, you know what I love about these kids? They just eat it. They Master Pearson was like, oh, a pineapple full of exotic ingredients. I'm eating it. He just went in with his spoon.
Yep. And the guy, the dad or whoever is like, well, I mean, it's not like crazy food, but I guess it's good. And the mom says, pork's not my favorite, but it's not that bad. It's like, wow, these are some great stellar reviews.
Yeah. So then a Thai dancer comes out and starts dancing for the guests. And Captain Lee's staring at her like, where the hell did this person come from? Is that Ashton? Is that Ashton? He looks hell of a lot different in makeup.
So Brian and Courtney are hugging in the galley. And Kevin's like, no, not here in the galley, please.
Yeah. All I have here, I have to shed onto the food. Out of the way. So then Kate is like, wow, this Thai dancer is fantastic. I really respect her. She's got commitment to her craft. Something I wish Simone only had.
Yeah. Simone, would you come up here? Good. Glad you could make it. I just wanted you to witness me giving an extra stripe to this dancer. Thank you, dancer. Thank you so much for coming by.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, go show that. Share those stripes with everyone. Yeah, there you go. So Kevin serves up for dessert like a rice pudding, but he uses a black rice or whatever and a mango parfait. And this one girl who didn't like the pork is like, I don't like it. I'm just like not into rice for dessert.
I know. My city just rolled over in her grave. Like, thanks a lot, lady. So the guy's like, yeah, it's not really amazing tonight. You know, I asked for five star. Oh, and then the wine guy's like, five star courses. Meat on a stick. He could do better. It's like, still kind of hate you. Not going to totally disagree with you.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, you're kind of right. Well, it was weird because I wanted to be like, you're kind of right. But at the same time, I kind of felt like the meat on the stick looked really good. So I was like, but you're also being a snob, so I hate you. But then again, you're also making Kevin's life harder, so I kind of like you. So I don't know where I stand.
So Kate goes down to Kevin, and she's like, the old guy doesn't like it. He said, meat on a stick? Gross. I just barfed on my own face. I mean, it's like he's expecting five-star Michelin food or something. Kevin's like, what a dick.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to you. I was giving another stripe to your microwave because it's been doing such hard work for you.
And Kevin's like, well, I guess I could have done better than meat on a stick, but I just can't win with these guys. I was like, well, you know, you could win. You could do better than meat on a stick.
Yeah. Okay? So then downstairs, Tanner's with Simone. He's like, hey, Simone. So it's pretty cool that you and I are keeping this casual, right? Huh? 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 And she's like, well, as long as there's respect. He's like, got it. I don't have to respect you. Great. See you tonight.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. As long as there's respect there. You stuck your tongue down my throat right after you
barfed.
Right after you barfed. And then right after I got mad at you, you called me for sex. So, I mean, and I then, like hearing the words. Just follow the words.
And then you gyrated your boner up on a lady who works at the club right in front of my face after it was evident that it made me uncomfortable. Great.
So next morning, Ashton, Brian, wheelhouse. So he's like, I just got a call from the water taxi. They're going to be able to bring them all out there for their beach. Or they're going to be able to bring them all out there. And Ashton's like, it's a surprise arrival for the kids' grandparents who live in Thailand. We've already got two young kids, which is a safety hazard. And now we're about to have elderly people as well.
Not to mention all the women on board who don't know even how to handle themselves, if I'm right. So then the water taxi arrives and Pearson's mom is like, who's that? Why is that boat coming so close to us? Totally tipping the surprise. Like, okay, you know, lady, chill out. Okay. Your son eats from a pineapple. He can handle the surprise. You don't have to like spell it out for him. So she's like, who's that? Who's that? And he's like, it's Mike Wanma, which was like so cute.
They're so sweet. Kate's like, I love old people. They're so cute. And they have so much wisdom.
I'm giving stripes to both of Pearson's grandparents. There you go. You each have a stripe for being great grandparents. She's like, has this yacht turned into a Hallmark movie? Oh, no. I don't see Dean Cain. So, no, we're not a Hallmark movie just yet. Nope. Mm-hmm.
If this was a movie, it would not star Simone, and the movie would be called Stripes. So...
If this were a movie, it would not star Simone. It would be called A Competent Christmas. Christmas. A
Competent Christmas.
We'll workshop that.
So the grandparents are checking out the wheelhouse and saying hi to Captain Lee and stuff. He's like, well, you can check that one off your bucket list. It's like, oh, God, don't say that.
Jesus.
Don't say that to older people. It was literally a movie starring old people checking things off their bucket list. That's not nice.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Kevin wants to do, while everyone's at the beach, Kevin wants to prepare a giant family-style meal, which I know is already triggers you because I know your feelings about family style and the inherent laziness. Ooh, sorry, microphone. So
no, he wants to do that. No, that's not me. That's Kate.
Oh, it was Kate. But I thought you felt that way, too. I just sort of assumed you felt that way, too.
Well, I mean, I see your point. But family style just reminds me. I don't like counting things, you know? Like, who had that? Who had how many pieces of sushi and how much pasta did I eat? No, Kate's the one who's like, that's lazy. You just want to do family style so you don't have to plate. But he puts it, he's like, family style is like a fairy tale for me. It's why I like it. It's like, oh, shut up, Kevin. Give me a break with that.
He does this whole thing about family style meals are a bit of a fairy tale for me because growing up, I had a small family. So family style meal was basically just me heating up the macaroni in the toaster oven, and that was me and my family. I'm like, okay. Listen, I'm not taking away that you had a tough childhood because your dad was a master baker and your grandfather was on the Titanic and they both hated you. That's fine. But, like, let's not turn family-style meals into, like, a representation of, like, the life you never had, okay? Family-style meals, like, as long as you have one other person, it's family-style.
Yeah, stop making me feel for your shitty childhood every time I go to Buca di Beppo.
Okay? I know. Yeah.
So a boat goes to the little island, and Master Pearson's like, can I go? And they're like, no, stupid, you're a kid. And so they make him stay on the boat, and the lady's like, the wind is coming. He's like, yeah, I feel wind weighing on my face.
Yeah. Daddy, look at the island. There's an island, Daddy.
So we're basically turning him into Portia. So it's windy and there's waves and Ashton's like, well, I've come as close to this beach as I possibly can, but I'm afraid to say it's a little too rough. It's almost like Riley was here, so we're gonna have to turn around and go back, and it's all for safety.
I'm not comfortable with this, especially with kids and old people. Jesus. Yes.
I'm afraid that if we go to the island, I might get drunk and I could wind up making out with a child or an old person, and we don't want that, so I'm uncomfortable with it.
Well, if you can't do it safely, you can't do it.
So they head back, and Kate calls Captain. She's like, am I hearing correctly that they're not going to the beach? That's kind of a big deal, and now it's ruined. So, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks to Ashton, there's no beach, there's disappointed guests, and a whole bunch of wasted time. So, thanks, Ashton, thanks for nothing. Yeah, take away your stripes.
Thanks for creating all those waves, Ashton.
Yeah, hey, Ashton, thanks for creating wind. It'll help.
So Ashton is talking to the dad. He's like, sorry, wasn't comfortable with the waves. We'll put the pool in. And the dad's like, okay. The dad's all depressed and sad. Like, how much are we going to spend on this fucking boat before we have a good charter?
Exactly. So Master Pearson's like, can we have the toys, please? And so they now are putting out all their toys. And Riley is like, there's some sort of, like, knot that she's supposed to do, and she does, like, a fishing boat knot instead of the yacht knot, and, like, it's, like, causing a little bit of chaos in the world of knots.
Yeah, because they can't get it untied.
Yeah.
He's like,
and then there's, like, a slide going in.
Yeah. And she's like, you were the one who told me to untie it in the first place, Tanner. What the hell, Tanner? And Brian's like, oh, my God, these Riley knots. What are all these? I can't untie them. Oh, I can't untie them.
Is this... Wait a second. Is this rope tied in the shape of the letters G-O-T-I-T? I don't get it.
God. It's a got it tie.
It's a got it knot. So then Tanner keeps on being like, Riley, tie it on. Come on, I'm dying here. I gotta jerk off after this. You're cutting into my time. And she's like, I'm working on it. Working on it. You had me untie it first, you fuckface. So there's like chaos with all the deckhands. Then meanwhile in the galley, because there's no ventilation, the smoke alarm is going off. And the guests are like, we don't know what you're making, but whatever it is, we don't need it. We don't need it. We don't need it.
Yeah. And so everybody's coughing. The mom's like, God, we can just go to the island to eat.
Yeah.
And then Tanner's like, oh yeah, they're still fighting about the line.
It's like the knot thing really goes on for like a while.
Yeah. It goes, yeah, here we are. I was like, we already did this. Oh, it's just the same scene. So no, then Kate like, holds up the floor fan and she's like, hey, Kevin, I'm your biggest fan.
Huh. And then Master Pearson's like running around throughout the smoke and he goes, it's smoky all around. I'm weeding.
And that brings us to the end of Below Deck, everybody. We will be back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of Orange County. If you need some more of us, go check out our bonus episodes over on Patreon. This week, we did a full recap of Project Runway. And then we're going to do later, starting in this week and continuing to next week, a two-part recap of the Top Chef cast announcement that just came out. So until then, have a great one, everybody. We love ya.
Yeah, talk to you guys all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you jonesing for some addictive true crime or equally addictive reality TV show? Well, you need to get yourself Hey You. It's the home of reality TV on demand. You've got your Kardash. You've got your Real Housewives of New Jersey. You've got your Real Housewives of Atlanta. And bonus, you can watch them the moment they come out in America. You don't have to wait. And if, like me, you're addicted to crime documentaries, Hey You has got some absolute bangers. One of them's called Homicide for the Holidays. I'm in. There's also a one-month free trial. Just go to heyyou.com/podcast to start your reality TV binge session immediately.